It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And boy, I can't believe it's halfway through November already. I know people are gearing up for Thanksgiving, you know, a time for family and friends and good food and sports and all those wonderful things. And it's also, as we're approaching the end of the liturgical year for the church as well, you know, we're moving ever closer to the Feast of Christ the King. And then we start our new church year with the first Sunday of Advent. I can't believe how quick it's coming and how quick this year has gone. But it just goes to show you, you know, we don't have a lot of time to waste. You know, I mean, if we need to reconcile with someone, we should do that. You know, if there's things in our lives that need to be fixed, we need to fix them. Stop procrastinating. You know, let's continually strive to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to more fully become the person who God created us to be, right? And so let's strive for that as we make this final push toward the end of the church year. Well, today we're going to talk about an important issue. You know, one I've been wanting to talk about for a while. You know, I want to explore all the different life issues, but today specifically, I want to talk about embryonic stem cells and cloning, right? Two different topics: embryonic stem cells, and then cloning. Just so we can get an understanding, what is the church's teaching on this? Is there a difference between using embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells? Are embryonic stem cells better than using adult stem cells? And what about cloning? What's the big deal, you know, with cloning? So we're going to talk about those today. If you want to join us, we'd love to hear from you. Beacon at EWTN.com. And so where in the world am I? You know, so as you know, I do quite a bit of traveling. So this week, I'm at giving the keynote for Real Presence Radio in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I haven't been to Sioux Falls in a long time. So wonderful to be there. And I'm going to give a keynote for a Catholic fundraiser, John Paul II Radio in San Diego, California. And then flying to Steubenville to speak at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. I'm giving a talk on the diaconate and its connection to the hierarchical structure of holy orders at St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology with Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma. So I'm excited for that as well. So, busy week this week, again, heading into Thanksgiving. I got a couple more things to do before the end of the year, and very excited about that. And what I'm also excited about is every single day I get to work with some amazing people at EW10, including Matt Gabinski, who works hard at screening the calls, and Charles Berry doing social media, and, you know, the best producer on Catholic radio, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good, man. The countdown is on. I love as we get closer to Thanksgiving. The only bummer is it's a week later than we're normally used to. So, like, normally I don't feel like I have all this extra time. It's like November hits and, phew, you know, we're ready. But I officially pulled out the table leaf, you know, to go in the table to get ready for Thanksgiving Day. And then, of course, I got to get all my decor and my buffet tables ready. But I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, is that because there's 5 weeks? Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. There's 5 weeks in November this year. So five Sundays, I should say.
Yeah.
So that pushes Thanksgiving a little bit later than normal.
And then we have the short window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which, you know, was going to make, you know, shopping maddening.
Oh yeah, because they used to have Black Friday, right, the day, but now they move it earlier and earlier and earlier, and then they added stuff. Now they have Black Friday, which is now like Wednesday or something like that. They get because everybody wants to get the jump on their competition, and then we have what, Cyber Giving Monday or something like that.
Yeah,
So
so you
now
have
they
Cyber
give
Monday, which
online.
is all the online deals, and then Giving Tuesday, which is like, okay, now that you've
Oh,
done all
that's
your
what it is. Okay.
shopping, donate to EWTN, Catholic Radio, or whatever organizations you believe in, which is great. I mean, let's tie it all together, right? It is the giving season, but that I will say, because of the pandemic, I became so much of an online shopper during that because we weren't going anywhere. I'm like, this is fabulous. So, like, especially with having family in Michigan, it makes it easier because then I can just send the packages to them. Then I show up a couple of days before we open gifts and then wrap everything, put it under the tree, and then they're like, "Oh, Dad, you're the greatest," or last year we just had Lazy Man's Christmas, and I go, "All right, this box is yours, this is yours, this is yours, go," and then and I ordered it like 2 months in advance, and they're like, "Oh yeah, okay, I remember buying that, yeah." It's like having to go back through my Amazon, list to go, "Okay, what did I get, by the way?"
Yeah, and this is a time for family too. Gosh, I'm trying to remember the last time I had a Thanksgiving with my siblings. God, I can't remember. Because we're so spread out, and everybody's got the kind of their own families, their own deals going on. So I have my mom, my mother-in-law over, and my brother-in-law will both be over. And like we talked about before, I'm gonna do all the cleaning
Yeah,
after
that's right.
the cooking,
That's good. Well,
which is fine. I, because everybody's off doing something like having dessert or something like that, and I'm just by myself. Just and I like I'm pretty organized, so I like to do things a certain way, and nobody's messing with me, so
yeah.
I actually don't mind cleaning.
Well, and my adult daughters, now they're, creating traditions of their own, taking what they grew up with and expanding it because, like, my oldest, she's engaged now, so going over to, her fiance's family for this year because she came to see me last year. So it's that balance, that now she's in the throes of. My baby girl, she's at that age where she's like, "Dad, if you were like an hour away, I would be there, but you're not." And I was like, "I get it." I was like, "You and Rocky do what you want to do, and then I'll see you at Christmas." So it that there is that act of balancing act of okay, what's going on this year, and then trying to make the most of it. I'm still close enough to my folks; they come over. My brother usually comes into town, so he pops by, and it kind of becomes a Friendsgiving for that, just because there it's what I call the thing, the dinner table of misfits, right? We're all just kind of there thrown together because this is the year that family is elsewhere, so this year you're my family. And I love that because conversations are different, the activities are different, musical choices oftentimes are different, so I it is truly my favorite holiday all year. Like, let's just eat. Which is a reminder that we should just get together over food throughout the year, but we're just so busy with life, we say we're going to do it and we don't.
Yeah, so true. This is what I was saying before, that this is a time for healing in families too,
Amen.
and focus on the things that unite us instead of the things that separate us, and pray that God continue to bring a level of healing into our family situations,
Yeah, I
because
mean,
again, life is too short. The last thing you want to do is die with regrets,
sure.
you
Well,
know?
and I lost, two of my radio friends this year to cancer. And so thinking about them, this for their families, not only being the first holiday without them, but also, very thankful again to have another day because we aren't guaranteed. These guys were One was slightly older than me, one was substantially younger. So again, we can't go on age, we can't go on health status, we can't go on the fact that I work out every day and I eat my veggies or any of that stuff. When God's timing comes, it's it, right? And so just so thankful to, to know that I have a day that I can call and talk to my kids, and I can have a day to sit with my mom still at the dinner table where so many people don't get that option.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And ultimately, the loyalty comes to the down to the family, you're loyal to the people that you love and that you're related to. And and that's also the same true for our church family as well. We and this is a time to remember those who are without. One of the things we used to do when the kids were younger, we used to serve homeless people and shut-ins and things like that. We used to open our parish and have them all come, and the kids used to serve, the kids of the parish used to serve them. And and I missed that. That was really something wonderful. So
Yeah, that's good.
awesome. All right, well, today we're talking about embryonic stem cells and cloning on Beacon of Truth, important topics. And so you want to be with us today, just send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Love that.
Just simple. I've heard bands when they write songs, they're, like Queen was good about this. I think Foo Fighters is another one where they write it with the idea of this is a song for the crowd. So the tempo of the song is based upon, a jumping mosh pit or, people clapping together or whatever. So I love those simple things like that, because then it's a song that the whole crowd can perform.
Exactly. Like AC/DC's, bro. I mean, that's like, their song's almost written with anthems in mind, Shook Me All Night Long. And I mean, how could you not move or clap and, to that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Again, it's simple, but effective when you're playing live in front of people.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome. All right. Well, this is Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about important issue, embryonic stem cells and cloning. Would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, we want to let you know about the Eucharistic mystery as we journey deeper into that. Of course, there's great ways for you to do so and at no cost. Download the free ebook, The 12 Stations of the Most Holy Eucharist, when you go to ewtn.com/Catholicism. Get yours in time for the holidays. So especially if this is the time that you reignite your time in Mass and your adoration time, this is something to take with you as well.
Well, it's now time for us to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the book of sung praises, or the Hebrew hymnal, which we hear at every single holy sacrifice of the Mass. Today, we're going to take a look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115 is in Book 5 of the Psalms. It's one of the Hallel Psalms, so Psalms 113 to 118. And Psalm 135 are the Hallel or praise psalms. And so we're going to, this one's pretty long, so we're not going to be able to get the whole thing, but let's look at the first, I don't know, 8 verses or so of Psalm 115. Like just about all of these Hallel psalms, there's no prescript, so there's no attribution. We don't know which psalmist wrote this psalm. There's no musical notes or anything about how this psalm was to be sung or any instrumentation. It just starts off with verse 1. And one, again, one of the iconic lines for me in all of the psalms. Again, Psalm 115, we start with verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. I quote that psalm all the time in talks, right? Again, because everything we do is not about us. Everything we do is about glorifying God. So, for example, the other day, someone came up to me and said, Deacon, I was looking on your YouTube, and I saw you only have like a little over 5,000, subscribers. You should have like, 4 or 5 times that many. I'm like, I don't care how many subscribers I have. I don't care if I have one or 1 million. I don't care. I'm not on social media to glorify myself or to see how many people will like what I'm doing or to get followers. I want people to follow Jesus. That's why I'm on there. You know, so it doesn't matter to me. I mean, statistics, none of that matters to me. I put the stuff out there in the hopes that people can benefit from it and be brought closer to intimacy with the Lord. That's the point. And this beginning of Psalm 115 reminds me of that. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. That means everything that we do is to glorify God, right? To glorify God, not ourselves, you know, but God. For your merciful love and your fidelity. In other words, why are we glorifying God? Because of his merciful love and fidelity, right? His covenantal love and his faithfulness. Fidelity means faithfulness, right? So we see that fulfilled, of course, in Jesus Christ, who was faithful to the will of the Father and who, through his merciful love, sacrificed his life so that we can have life forever with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Oh, awesome. And verse 2, why should the nations say, where is their God? Right? So I love that. So when we honor and praise and glorify the Lord because of his merciful love and fidelity, then we don't want the nations, we want the nations around us to see us and to say, wait a minute, we want what they have. You know, they have this incredible relationship with God. And again, remember, the Israelites are supposed to be the witnesses and examples of what it means to be in relationship with God, what it means to follow God, what it means to give your life to God. So we want to make sure that the nations see us, to see the things that we're doing, and to glorify God, right? Because and the psalmist says here, what we don't want, they should say, where is their God? Right. And again, that depends on us. That depends on us. We want to make sure that we're doing things that are not dishonoring the Lord and thereby pushing people away from relationship with God. Right. We got to be careful because our actions and our decisions, some have ripple effects in the lives of other people. And, you know, depending how serious it is, it could have consequences for our eternal salvation as well. You know, so we got to be really careful when it comes to this. And it continues in verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he wills. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. Right? So now there's a little juxtaposition here by the psalmist where he says, you know, see, he talks about God being in the heaven, God being omnipotent, God being omnipresent, right? God giving the gift of his love to us in his fullness. You know, that's one. As opposed to the gods and the idols of the culture that are made with human hands. You know, so we got to remember, there's only one creator, God, right? There's only one creator, and that's the Lord. We co-create with God, right? So we don't create anything. You know, we co-create with God. But sometimes, again, when we don't have that relationship with the Lord or we think that we're God, remember the temptation in Genesis 3, you will be like God. So we think my creation and what I create and what I develop makes me God. And I'm bringing this particular psalm up because we're talking about embryonic stem cells and cloning today on the show. And we want to make sure just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something, right? Because we want to make sure that in everything that we do that we're maintaining the dignity and respect for each and every human person made in God's image and likeness. And just because you're a brilliant surgeon or you're an incredible mathematician or you're a physicist that's looking into the origins of the universe and you're discovering things right? And you win all kinds of awards and accolades from your earthly counterparts because of the discoveries that you've made. But you've got to be careful. We need to attribute those things to God. Now, of course, atheists don't attribute, because they don't believe in God, they attribute it to themselves, right? But ultimately, that's all going to fail, because everything that we're discovering is really an uncovering of what God already has put in place. All we're doing is discovering what's already there.
Yeah, I mean, if we have the mindset of everything belongs to God, everything comes from Him, then it allows us to remove ourselves. It keeps us humble to know that every piece of technology that's created, every code that's written, everything is from, you know, God infiltrating into our brains, or, you know, providing us with anything that gives, or, you know, providing us even now in a world, you know, as musicians, you know, you can learn a riff that you couldn't quite figure out on your own, but someone else did figure it out, or the musician who created it. It's like, yeah, people, you know, Paul McCartney did this with Black Blackbird. People kept playing it wrong, and so finally he's like, no, it's like this, you know, and you're like, ah, you know. But again, it's all these ideas that again are God saying, here, I'm gifting you this, because now it will not only benefit the world once you put it out there, but it's also to rise your name and reputation based on my hand.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the way to think about it. And you know, and then the psalmist warns us about the dangers of self-idolization. When we don't do what you just said, Ace, he talks about the idols of the culture, the emptiness of it, the fallaciousness of it. You know, in verse 5, so now he wants to expand on this idolatry of the culture where we think we're God. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have nostrils, but they cannot smell. You know, so it's not just like a statue idol, right? All the things that we think make us God, right? You know, yeah, we're saying things, but we're not saying anything. Right? We're saying things to glorify ourselves, but not glorify God. So ultimately, it's empty. They have eyes, but they cannot see because they're still blinded to the truth. They have ears, but they cannot hear because they're not open to hearing any other way of thinking or opinion except their own. They have nostrils, but they cannot smell. They cannot smell the odor and this and in a sense, the stench of moral relativism and subjectivism, you know, and putting me at the center of everything. You know, these are the idols that the culture worships. And the psalmist here is warning us about this.
Well, and I'm pushing as much on myself in this statement because I've been in this headspace. But here's the reality. If all I ever left behind was a song or a radio show or the cure for cancer or whatever, if that's my only thing and I stepped on people along the way, all for a look at me, and never acknowledge God, didn't love well to those around me, then none of that means anything. And I would much rather love well and have, you know, the accomplishments I have based on knowing that that's what God wanted for me than to make it about me or to continually go, well, you know, the thing I did 6 years ago, that was a banner year, you know. I mean, you know, they always say you're only as good as your last win or your last award. I don't want to be able to put my stuff on a shelf or in a book or on a website and then go, look at what I did. Like, I want people to, I want a little piece of the love that I have for people to be what is left. And it just keeps going and
Exactly.
going.
Yep. And to end that thought in verse 8, their makers will come to be like them, as will all who trust in them. Right? Ooh, very beautiful words from the psalmist. We're talking about embryonic stem cells and cloning on Beacon of Truth. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Possibly Kirk Franklin kind of feel like that. Nice.
I saw.
I just want to praise you, Lord.
Yeah.
Woo!
I saw a video the other day, and it might have been around a while, but I just saw it the first time. It was a family that had just come home from church, and after lunch, they were singing The Wheels on the Bus with their grandson, but they were doing it with a gospel flair, so I had never heard it in this manner before. I was like, that is amazing. And the little boy's just, you know, I was like, that's it. You're combining the worlds. Let's give it to God. Wheels on the Bus, because God did it. I didn't do it. I just got behind the wheel and drove.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's wonderful also to see how many contemporary musicians got their start in church.
Sure.
You know, singing in the gospel choir or singing in folk choir, whatever it is at their particular church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they started off their careers in the church.
Yeah.
And that was a springboard. And the thing that we talked about this, you know, with the Psalms just now, not glorifying ourselves. And so often these artists, when they win awards, they will thank God, first of all, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then they'll go back and say, you know, I started off in the church. You know, they'll go back and remember their roots, where they came from.
Yep.
You know, and those influences that that led them to where they are today. And that, I think that's absolutely awesome.
And oftentimes they return to it. Like at some point after they've made their big album, then they're like, okay, now I'm going to give God what's his by, you know. And they breathe life back into songs that I know as a musician, like if I play a song for my kids that I grew up on that was, you know, very instrumental church-wise or contemporary Christian even, and they're like, wow, I've never heard this, you know. And so to see them get excited about songs or sing songs that, you know, are stuck in their head because we revived it for a Sunday worship or it was just on in the car, like that's another legacy thing of the little things that helped bring us closer to God. Let's pass those on to other people so then they can also make those jumps with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not doing it in a vacuum.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Love that. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and today we're talking about embryonic stem cells and cloning, two very important issues in the life of the church. And so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, if you've been asking questions like, how do I find a soulmate? What do I do with my life, with the love, with the theology that I'm learning? How do I give that back to God? Well, Crystalina Everett, she helps to make sense of all that each and every weekend with Women Made New. You can catch that at noon Eastern on Saturday. And then, of course, on demand as you join Crystalina on a weekly basis or even daily. If you've got episodes to catch up on, easy to find, EWTN.com and a part of EWTN Radio.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Well, today we're talking about embryonic stem cells and cloning. You know, when we talk about Catholic social teaching, you know, there's several basic principles. And one of them, the first one and the most important, is the life and dignity of the human person. Because if you don't have life, then you have nothing. If you're not alive, then nothing else really matters, right? So life and dignity of the human person. And so the Catholic Church has always taught and proclaimed that human life is sacred and that the dignity of the human person is the foundation for a moral vision of society, right? So this idea of the dignity of the human person is the foundation of a moral vision for society. Now, we're not talking about, now let's be careful here. We're not talking about imposing a moral vision on society, right? That's not what I said. A foundation of a moral vision for society, right? So the church doesn't impose, the church proposes. Right? We look at the natural moral law, which is that part of God's eternal law where we can come to know the truth of who God is by reason alone. Right? And one of the fundamental principles of the natural moral law is to do good and avoid evil. And the way we carry that out in human law is through what's called positive law or human law. So, for example, again, some people see Human laws is kind of heteronomous. That means they're imposed on us from the outside and cause a burden on our lives. But that's not the case. So for like I give for example, seat belts. Right? I remember as a kid riding around with my brothers in the back of the station wagon with my dad driving, and we were just I don't know. 9, 8, 9, years old and younger. And we're just wrestling around and throwing each other in the back and playing games in the back, and nobody's wearing a seatbelt, right? Because there's no seatbelt law back then. But then studies were done showing that people that wear seatbelts have a much higher probability of surviving in a car accident. And so the government at that time said, isn't it better that people live? After a car accident, then die. So therefore, in order, because we're our job is to promote the welfare of the common good, the good of everyone. We will therefore impose a seat belt law. So they made it mandatory. So some people say, I don't want to do that. Who is the government to tell me what to do with my body? Yeah, sound familiar, right? But the government said, no, it's always better for people to live than to die in car accidents. So therefore, we're going to impose this seatbelt law, which is a good, positive law, right? It's a good application of the natural moral law to do good, right? To keep people safe and avoid evil, which is dying as a result of a car accident. And the same thing happened with drunk driving laws, right? Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And the legislation was passed to prevent, well, not prevent, but to have severe penalties for people who drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs, or even they're sleepy, right? And they're drifting. That goes often. I remember being on the road and pulling people over that I thought were drunk, and they were actually not physically impaired. They were exhausted. They were tired. They should have driven to a motel and spent the night there, but they thought, I'm just gonna push through and get through. I'm like, nah, so it's these are why some of these laws exist. Now, there are some laws that are unjust laws that were imposed. For example, you think back at the time of slavery, those are very much unjust laws, right? Did not why it didn't take into account the life and dignity of the human person, because they said that some people, namely, black people, were property and not human beings, right? And so you have to say that that a human being is actually not a human being to impose your will on them. I've been seeing arguments recently, for example, with abortion, where the pro-choice person is saying things like, "Well, it's not really a person; it's a parasite." So. Because it's just something that's in there taking from the mother, right? It's just like a parasite does. As they're saying this, I'm saying to myself, they have to say that. Because if it's a human being, it's what it is a human being at an early stage of development. They say, well, no, it's not a human being. It's a zygote, or it's a blastocyst, or it's an embryo. Those are simply names for human beings at an earlier stage of development. Right, we have names for human beings at every stage of human development. Right, we have infants, newborns. Right, newborns, infants, toddlers, tween is the new one. Tween, teen, young adult, middle age, elderly. Right, and we have names before you're born: blastocyst, embryo, zygote. Right, those are. But if they say parasite, you that's not human. That's not human, right? But they have to say that. So now, if it's not human, you don't, therefore, it's not worthy of dignity, and therefore, you can impose your will on that quote unquote thing that is not human. That's exactly what's going on today. But again, specifically, we're talking about today embryonic stem cell research and cloning. So let's take a look at embryonic stem cells first. So, human embryos are human beings, right? Parasites don't grow up to be teachers or college students or doctors or attorneys or radio producers or professional speakers or anything else, right? So they want us to believe that two human beings come together to create something that's not human, and at some point, which they can't even agree on, becomes human, and then we can start treating that with dignity and respect. There's even people now who are saying, even after the child is born, you can still take the life of that child because they're not really a human because they haven't, it doesn't have much cognitive function or ability. That is ridiculous. Right? And we see that carried through to the spectrum on the other end with the elderly, right, and the disabled, because they don't provide a in their mind, right, they don't provide a vital function or service to society. They're no longer useful to society. Therefore, they should be discarded, right? Again, the dignity of the human person going down the drain, right? So, again, return to our discussion: human embryos are human beings. No ifs, ands, or buts. No question about that. So respect for the dignity of the human being excludes all experimental manipulation or exploitation of human embryos. Right? So again, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Right? Because you're taking human beings just like the Nazis did. Right? In World War II. Excuse me. The Nazis took human beings and did experiments on them. Why? Because they did not see them as human beings. Right? And that's the problem. Right? And this is why the church says this is what it means to be human. Right? And this, again, we're looking at the common good. These are just basic fundamental principles that are part of living in a just society, right? So recent scientific advances show that medical treatments that researchers hope to develop from experimentation on embryonic stem cells can often be developed by using adult stem cells instead, right? So, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cold, right? Which happens, what do you call that again? It's comes with the territory, right? So when you travel as much as I do. So in other words, researchers are showing that you can get the same benefit, or actually you can get even better benefits from adult stem cells than from embryonic stem cells. So adult stem cells can be obtained without doing any harm whatsoever to the adults from whom those stem cells are derived, right? So so there's no valid medical argumentation in favor of using embryonic stem cells. And I'll show you why that's true in just a minute. And even if there were benefits to be had from such experimentation on human embryos, that would not just justify destroying innocent human life. When is it ever okay to take the life of an innocent person? It is never okay, right? But again, if you don't see it, it's just an embryo, it's just a parasite, it's just a blastocyst, caught whatever. Again, they're calling things non-human so they can impose their will on them. I mean, look, just take a DNA sample. What does DNA come back as? Human, right? Makes sense. So you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers. And today we're talking about one of the fundamental principles of Catholic social teaching, the life and dignity of the human person, particularly embryonic stem cells and cloning. You'll want to be with us. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. All right, the church has taught that destroying embryos who are human beings at the earliest stage of development for the purpose of harvesting stem cells is always morally objectionable and evil, right? So there's no justification whatsoever for experimentation on embryos, none. It is always morally objectionable and evil. Why? Because you're taking an innocent human life. Now, just a refresher here. in the commandments, in the list of the commandments, number 5 is thou shalt not kill. And the word there in Hebrew is ratzach. Ratzach. And ratzach means the taking of an innocent human life. Right? So if you're in war, or someone breaks into your house and tries to take your life, you have the right to defend yourself. Right? You have the right to defend yourself and your family. But because the person that's attacking is not an innocent person. There's never a circumstance where it's ever okay to take the life of an innocent human being. So every living human embryo is a human person with their own identity, their own personality, their own soul that was given to them by God that makes them unique and special than any other person has ever been created in human history. Therefore, they have a right to their own life. They have a right to their own life. Every human being owes his existence to the love of God, right? God is love. 1 John 4:16, and he who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. All right, so every human being owes their existence to God. And only the love of a husband and wife constitutes a mediation of that love in conformity with the plan of the Creator. So in other words, the church teaches that the conception of new life happens within the context of the covenant relationship of matrimony between a husband and a wife, right? Because creating life outside of that, outside of a relationship of love, because remember, in matrimony, it's an extension of the love of God, right? So in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, the first thing that God does with human beings, he establishes a covenant between the two of them. In Revelation 19 verse 9, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Right, so this idea of marriage, and so often in the Old Testament, God compares his relationship with Israel, a husband and his spouse, and his wife, relationship between God and his people. So it's with that in that context of a covenant relationship, a loving relationship is an extension of God's love in which new human life is created. Why? Because that life will be protected and respected within the very hearts of their parents, their mother and their father. If that life is created outside of that context, then the chances for manipulation of that person is vastly more likely to occur. Now, of course, there are exceptions, right, to marriage. So, for example, if you have in a married couple, you have a husband who's an abuser. Maybe he drinks too much, and he physically abuses his wife and children. All right, that obviously, again, that those and those are real things that happen. I mean, my parents are divorced, so these are things that happen. But that's the exception, not the norm. Right, the exception doesn't become the rule. Right, so we always want to strive for God's plan, and yes, we're human beings. We're weak. We're fallible. We're sinful. We make mistakes, but we should always strive for the ideal, right? Because that's in the context where true human flourishing can occur, right? And that's God's plan, to flourish, to become who God created and calls each one of us to be. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So fruitful is ephrata in Aramaic, or para in Hebrew, which means to blossom, right? To blossom. And that's what we want, right? Each of us wants to flourish and truly become who God created us to be. So the conditions and circumstances under which stem cells can be licitly obtained without violating the rights and dignity of the human person includes stem cells from skin cells, from umbilical cord blood, and from bone marrow, right? So those are three sources where you can licitly obtain stem cells from an adult without violating any of the teachings of the church when it comes to the dignity and respect of a human person, and no one is harmed or killed during the obtaining of those stem cells.
things that I would say too, after watching my daughter who was born 4 weeks premature and seeing babies in the NICU that were a pound or less, in a lot of cases, like, it changes the visual. So again, we've talked about this before, but it even lines up with our Psalms talk today, of that if everything comes from God and everything belongs to God, then the reality is that we talk ourselves scientifically out of a miracle. You know, like we put a digit on it, or we put a, you know, equation that's like, that's the answer. And it, when it comes to flesh and blood, it's not. You know, it's what is God's plan for this child, for this person, for, you know, and as we grow, we learn what that is, hopefully. We don't, it's not, doesn't happen too late, but for us to make a choice for someone else is also ungodly.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, but that's why I have to be really careful when we talk about important issues like this, that we don't get caught up in politics. That's the other thing. Yeah. What we're talking about here are not political issues, right? That we're not talking about political issues here. We're talking about life and death issues that have become politicized.
Yeah.
Right? Life and death issues that have become politicized. And so we always want to go back to the fundamental, basic moral principles of that serve as the foundation for what we believe and how we live in this world as people that are supposed to respect our fellow human beings.
Amen.
Right? And that's the key to the whole thing. And we can't ever forget that. You know, you talked about your daughter. I mean, I've also had two kids in NICU as well. And, you know, for, imagine they say, well, someone to say if they're outside of the womb, they're a human being, but that same child, in fact, we better for them to still be inside the womb. Right. But because they're not in there, they're in the womb. So they're not a person, but they're outside. It is a person that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Right. But again, this is something that happens when we don't look at every single person made in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
Yeah. So let me give you an example of how important this issue is. So the state of California a few years back handed out nearly $230 million to 14 research teams, asking them to develop new stem cell therapies. All right. So again, very, very important here. So $230 million were given to 14 different research teams. 10 of the 14 research projects, 10 of the 14, only deal with adult stem cells, not embryonic stem. Wait, what? You're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. I've always heard that cures for diseases are going to come from embryonic stem cells. That's what you hear on the news. That you hear all the time. That's not true. In fact, Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is, you might be familiar with him. He was like Oprah Winfrey's favorite physician when she had her show. He's the vice chair and professor of surgery at Columbia University. I saw a clip on YouTube when he appeared with Michael J. Fox on the actor Michael J. Fox on Oprah Winfrey's show. And we know that Michael J. Fox suffers from Parkinson's disease. And he's an avid proponent of embryonic stem cells. And this is what Dr. Oz said. I'm going to quote him here. This is what he said word for word. Quoting Dr. Oz, "The stem cell debate is dead. The problem with embryonic stem cells is that it's very hard to control them, and they can become cancer. In the last year, we've made 10 years of advancement. Here's what the deal is. I could take a little bit of your skin, take those cells, and get them to go back in time so that they're like what they were when you were first made. Those cells, called induced pluripotent stem cells, because they won't be as prone to cancer and because they're your genes, will be the ones that are ultimately the cures for Parkinson's. We're single-digit years away from making a big impact on the lives of those with Parkinson's disease, also heart attack victims and diabetics. It's gonna be in our lifetime. End quote. All right? Boy, we're just getting into this. I have to do part two on this at a future Beacon of Truth episode, but this is a really important issue that we need to talk about so that, again, we're respecting and maintaining the life of all of our brothers and sisters. All right, well, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And don't forget, you can do the Soulful Psalm segments through the EWTN app or through Spotify or SoundCloud. And until we meet again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.